Morning, everybody.
Morning,
Alma. Mambo, as you've heard. For today only. I'm standing in for Yanko, and I took in extra effort. As you can see, we've got matching colors. What I felt the Lord put on my heart to share is a message that has two titles, which is The God Who Chose You and How Did God Choose Me? At the end of it, I pray that we will get to grasp the two aspects of the God who chose us and see just how far he went to choose us. Okay, so how many of us love Nakonde rice? Nakonde rice. Okay, on the back of that, how many of us cook it without washing it? Okay, I know whose house I'm not visiting. How many of us have gone into an exam without preparation and come out with like flying colors? Okay, maybe this one will resonate with others. How many of us have not planned to go on a vacation and found ourselves in just like this beautiful, amazing beach and are just chilling? Okay, the last one. How many of you, or how many of us, have ever gone to buy tomatoes with our wives or our mothers? How many of you have ever gone to buy tomatoes with your wives or your mothers? If you see that process of selection, it's as delicate as creating an atomic bomb for women. Like, just ask my wife. She'll tell you the underwhelming quality of tomatoes I bring home when she says, bring tomatoes. So, the question that's the main question in all this is, how many of us have ever wrestled with the question, why did God choose me? Or maybe some of you think, like, God made a mistake in choosing me. And some of the opening examples I've used are just practical ways that we gauge things, we scale things, and we put in attention to certain things, even as small as buying tomatoes, right? How much more do you think God took to actually choose you, to bring you into his family and show you love and adopt you? Whoever's on Proclaim, asking for the screen. Since today is a group project, we're going to read together, okay? Psalms 139, verse 13 to 17. From the ESV, please. The internet is taking a day off. Okay. I'm off. Okay, let me read from my Bible as the internet tries to catch up. So, the Bible reads, 13 to 17. The Bible reads, or we can read together if we're there. It would have been easier if we... The Bible says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Other translations will say in the depths of my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. The psalmist shows us something of God's selection for us, right? He talks about how it happened before we were even formed. While we were still
like yet not born, he chose it. This is how far back God goes. Before our father somehow managed to convince our mothers to marry them, God thought about us and chose us then. Right? But even other aspects, that become a hindrance, especially when you start walking with God, some of us have horrific testimonies to how we came to be in this world. Right? But even those, what the psalmist shows us is that God actually thought about us, knew about us, and he selected us then, yet before anything happened around our birth or coming into this world. Yet before anyone said we were accidents or said I shouldn't have had you, like you just here finishing our money, like before those comments came from some of our parents, God actually chose us and he called us to be his way before then. The other part, the other verse I'll read to you is Jeremiah 1 verse 5 to 9. Oh, it's back. Group project, guys, let's go. Is this the Lord challenging my shyness? Okay, so yeah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Do you see that? Did the Bible say, Now that you've gone to the nations and you've preached and you're such a great man, Jeremiah, I have selected you. Now that you've done everything right and you're the standard of perfection amongst humans, I have chosen you. Jeremiah expresses something that is very common to all of us. It's like, Lord, I am not fit for this. Trust me, I'm not fit to be here, first of all. I said those words, right? But in God's selection and in God's comfort to Jeremiah, it says, before, and it goes back to him, before I formed you, I knew you, I called you. Anything you're going to become, I already know because I wrote out your days. Before any of us even said a word, and it's exciting for parents when you hear, Dada, Mama, you know, God knew that, okay, this will be my child, I'll send him. This will be his life, this will be her life, but what I'm sending them for is much greater than even the circumstances in which they experience. That's good, yeah. The last part of my sharing, which I'm hoping this time can... Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 11. Yay! Okay, we can read it together so that... Yeah, loud. It's a community project. We're standing in your place. I would say standing in the gap, but... All right, let's go. One, two, three.
Of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth
that apparently was one long thing and someone had to break it down. Can you imagine reading that back in the day, like, when does it end? But Paul hits us with some hard truths, right? The criteria of God's creation is painted out very beautifully in Ephesians 1. In our selection process, right? He says, before the foundation of the earth. This brings out the character of who God is. God is a craftsman. He just doesn't do things randomly. None of us, people who've built, know this. Like, you just don't wake up one day and say, I bought land, I'm putting a house. You go through a process. You see an architect, you see someone who tells you this is how much you need, this is what you need to put down. You calculate the cost, and even the cost, and even the material you choose to build upon that foundation is based on the work that you've put on the foundation. For example, they'll tell you, use this size of blocks because your foundation can't hold any block bigger. Use this type of roofing because your foundation might not work. So everything that's built on a foundation is chosen way before the foundation so that it's already planned out and it's like no surprises. And that's how God's selection is for us. He knew that he was going to build us upon this earth, and he chose us before the earth even had a foundation. He chose us to be holy and blameless, and it says in love. He didn't choose us perfect, but he perfects us, and it shows that there's a continuation. Back then, we had what they called Sierra carriers. There would be very famous buses going from Lusaka, especially to the Copper Belt, right? And there would always be a Nigerian movie playing in that. It would always end with, to God be the glory, right? And it would say, and watch out for part two, or to be continued, to God be the glory, right? So you travel to the Copper Belt, you see part one. You come back, you're like, oh, part two is probably the end. And then as you get off in Osaka, you see to be continued, like, ah, oh, I have to go back. Right? And that's how God invites us, that anticipation. He invites us in his sanctification. He doesn't say you are sanctified, but he calls us to be sanctified. And that sanctification, we rely on us getting back on that Sierra carriers to just see how it goes, right? And that's how God's sanctification also works. We can't get to sanctification away from God. Yes, we sin. Yes, we fall. Yes, we backslide. Sometimes we even find our hearts very hard and unable to enjoy him. But even in those very moments, God invites us to say, come. Such you can see where this movie ends. Our selection in holiness was not based on any of the works that we did. If we see, it says, first of all, they come through Jesus. They were not random, but according to the purpose of his will. What you realize from Ephesians is that the entire Godhead played a role in your selection. God chose. Christ is the means to which you get to God. The Holy Spirit, if you go to verse 14, it talks about he's the assurance of that salvation. So think about it. How can I be an accident? How can I be an accidental Christian? Like, I just walked and then, like, boom, oh, I'm a Christian now. Your Christianity comes from the fact that God chose you. You are not an accident despite your failures, despite your fallings. Do you remember how important God's will is? Because if we're chosen according to God's will, we need to look at how important it is. If you remember in the garden when Jesus was praying, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. If we look at that moment for Jesus, it wasn't like a guarantee, like, oh, your leave days are coming, so you can prepare to enjoy yourself, right? But he was actually going to die. And he had his disciples there, and what Luke shows us about this picture tells us that he was in agony to the point that he had angels ministering to him. But even then, can you imagine angels ministering to you? He still sweated blood so that he could carry out the Father's will. That very will is what was there in your selection. So it's not random. It's not that you're not that important to God. Like, this is how important you are to him. He sent his son to show you an example of how God does not go against himself. Right? And that was the case even in your selection. His will is at the very heart of our selection for us. This plan of salvation comes into play from before the beginning of the earth, Before Adam even fell, God knew that these are the ones I'm going to call my children. These are the ones I'm going to call to enjoy presence with me. You see this in our day-to-day lives, that not everybody enjoys Jesus or enjoys God as much as we do. And sometimes they're just like, is there something wrong? You know, I remember when I came to this church, I'd find people, you know, I came from a Baptist background, so we don't express ourselves, you know, stoic. No one should know how much you enjoy God, just... I came here, first day, found people crying, kneeling, arms raised. I'm like, what is this? Right? But we see that that enjoyment is not for everybody. That people who come to church and it's just like nothing. They see us like weird people, like, what's wrong with these people, right? But we enjoy God. So we don't wake up in the morning, it's cold. I mean, we don't have any blankets, but here we are, right? So what should this hope, what should this vision, this picture give us? It's hope. Hope that God's love is real and it's unconditional. It's clear that it was set way before we even came into existence. Despite who we are, God will work in us sanctification. Messed up as we are, broken as we are, depressed as we are, anxious as we are, God will work out his sanctification. If you see in verse 9, in verse 6 to 9, the key words that will come out is, all this was done in his wisdom and insight. Do you, like our mothers when they're picking tomato, there's a lot of wisdom and insight. No, this will last you Friday, or this is just for tomorrow, right? But God does that and he says, these are the ones. These are the ones that will stand the test of time. These are the ones that will speak about me regardless of their situations. These are the ones that will still follow me regardless of what life throws at us. Will we always be perfect? No. Right? But God will actually work sanctification in us. Does our following and anything to do with this require us to be perfect? No. If you go all throughout history, we usually like to look at the saints of old. No, David was a man after God's heart and all that, right? But have you ever noticed something about David's life that's very peculiar? First of all, David, even in the eyes of men, was not one who could be seen as a king. When he was being chosen as a king, they literally didn't even, that someone, they had to ask, wait, where's the other one? You can imagine being in a house with your brothers and your sisters, or let's just say brothers because he had brothers, right? And your father says, tomorrow a prophet is coming. Hey, just continue doing what you do. Like, you're not part of that. Imagine how left out you'd feel, how imperfect you'd feel. It's the reminder of all these things about you that don't stand perfect, that will be before you and they'll haunt you for as long as eternity. Can you imagine how he felt when they told him, oh, they're actually looking for you, you know? And it's the same even for us. God does not look at how we are on the outside. He sees who we are on the inside, and this who we are on the inside is something that he actually put there. David's walk with God was not perfect. Far from it, right? But we see that even in the moment, David had a lot of, we'll call them slip-ups in his... But even the moment where it's almost like he became comfortable in it, right? God actually sent help in the form of a prophet to actually show him a picture of his comfort. Say, this is not where you're supposed to be. And God does the same for us, through our brothers, through our sisters, through the church, through our community. We never stay in the same place. Do we fall? Yes, we do. You know, some of us maybe are like, yeah, even yesterday, I think so, like by 18th, right? But that does not disqualify us from this selection. That selection is not a mistake. It's never been, it never will. And one of the greatest lies the devil will tell you is that you are an accident. This was by mistake. Do you really think God could have chosen someone like you? You know, and he's got this thing where you bring out a rap sheet. That day you spoke like this to your parents. That other day you had road rage. You said things you shouldn't have. That's very unchristian of you, right? But these things do not disqualify us. And when they become part of, they start to become part of our identity, God actually sends help to help us. As I prepared this, it was weird because I think for like the last 3 weeks of my life, I felt this very thing that God accidentally chose me, or was just a mistake, or maybe I'm not even saved, right? And these things would make me feel very unsatisfied with the work that God has done in my life, because it's just like it's something that he would do. And as I'm preparing this, I'm seeing God, and it felt like, you know, when you're writing, you're doing homework, right? And you're not doing it correctly, and you're there, and then your father is just here. You, 1 + 1 is what? And you're there like, 3. Right? But it was seeing God's compassion towards me in all my failures, in all my flaws, telling me, I chose you. You are a son to me. If you think I don't care about you, just look at what it took. It's funny that we're having communion today. Communion is about remembrance, the things that the Lord has done. As Vic would say, I was just like, let him just take everything. Because it was the same thing, the theme of remembrance. I was telling my wife, like, is it just me or everybody's talking about remember, remember, remember? And it's actually important for us to remember, not remember the things we've done, but remember the things we've done in light with what God has done. You find that that scale that you always feel is heavy on your side is not actually as heavy as it is. And there's grace and there's hope for you. What I feel the Lord is doing this morning is actually calling us back to him. Calling us back to repentance of the ideas that keep us far from him. For those checklists that we think we should finish before he makes us, or is happy with us. For those times we feel like I'm better off just being away from family, being away from community, because I think I've strayed so far. God is calling us, and I feel like, I'll sound like Yanko right now. The Lord is wanting to break something in us so that his love can register to us. Thank you. That was my short presentation.